Hey there, Shug. This is Wednesday, May the 24th. I got your nice tape today, and I sure was pleased to receive it. Besides that, I received two letters from you, so it was the number one day here all the way around. Since I didn't have to go to school today, since it was Wednesday, you know, I don't go to school on Wednesdays unless I have to do some particular type of work up at the school. I never go in on that day. And today, I decided I'd sleep late, which I did, and thoroughly enjoyed. I finally was awakened by the old dog, and he decided it was time that he went outside. But other than that, I might have slept all day. I had Marilyn Dobbs over for lunch today, and really enjoyed having her. She's a real nice girl. I think I may have told you before that her husband is getting out of the service in June, and he is interviewing jobs right now, so they will probably be leaving Dayton shortly. I really would like for you to meet both of them. They're real nice. I've met Marilyn's husband, Doug, and he seems like a real nice guy. He's a mechanical engineer or electrical. I've forgotten which. Maybe electrical. But anyway, he's a real nice guy. And Marilyn stayed most of the afternoon, and we just sat around and talked, of course. She really got a kick out of the old dog. He was quite a sight to her when she first came in, as she didn't remember that I had said we had a greyhound. She thought for some reason I'd said it was a German shepherd. So she came in and was quite astounded at what Mike looked like, and she sat down on the rug here to pet him, and right away he laid right down and put his head in her lap, and she was just amazed that he was so friendly and just so relaxed. And she couldn't get over also the fact that he would just lie down and just trust anybody to step over him, around him, or anything, that, you know, he had complete confidence that everyone would watch out for him instead of him watch out for them. So she really was amazed by how he acted. And she was petting him and everything. And so while she was talking with him, I asked him to sit, or, you know, I gave him the command to sit, and he sat right down and really impressed her. And then after he sat, well, I told him to lie down, and of course he laid right down, and it was just real funny, because I think he really impressed her that he was a well-behaved dog, even though he was pretty well spoiled too. I've been fooling around with the tape recorder today, both of them, the one I have home from school, and also the one that is of your dad's. You know, it seemed that I never was able to make it work correctly, the one of your dad's. And there was so much static when I attempted to record on it that I just about gave up on it. And every time I tape you a tape, I am sure that I have the school's recorder here at home to use it rather than the one of your dad's, because it never seems to turn out well, as you'll find out when you try to hear that one of the Boudreaux's party that we had I had for them. I'm sorry, I have a little bit of cold, and after I talk a little while, sometimes I get hoarse. I thought I was just about over it, but it seems like at night I get just a little bit hoarse like this, and I probably really don't sound like myself on a tape. Anyway, as I was saying about the tape recorder, I think I've finally learned how to work it so that now, even after I am not able to bring the one from school home any longer after this course, I think I'll be able to use the one of your dad's and continue sending you tapes. However, from the sounds of your letters, if you get sent up to Da Nang, you probably won't have your recording facilities up there and won't be able to listen to one if I send it. But maybe you'll be coming back and forth or through Play Coup anyway, maybe getting your mail, or maybe for some sort of mission through that way, and maybe you could at least pick them up and hear them while you're there. I got your letter today, the one that you had written the day that we talked with each other over the telephone. And now even more so, after receiving this letter, am I amazed at your ability to contact me by phone. I thought that was pretty amazing, but I really got a kick out of reading your ingenuity in figuring out and attempting to find out if you could reach me by phone from the C-47 and while you were on a mission. I'm real sorry that you tried other times to get me, and I wasn't here at home. It seems like I am gone most of the day, even though I just have that one class, well, the two classes, really. The one class of Spanish and then the one class with Dr. Butters. It seems like still those courses take up just about the whole day. And, of course, I'm always gallivanting around, passing by Tracy's house and having a cup of coffee with her or something. But had I even thought about you trying to reach me by phone, I would have made a point to be at home. Yes, the morning you called, it must have been just about 6:30 here. I believe I first quoted in one of my letters it being about 6:45, but I had forgotten that I have the clock in the bedroom set up about 10 minutes. So it was just about 6:35 here in the morning when you called. And needless to say, I wasn't out of bed because, you know, me, if I have a class at 9:45, I'm not about to get up at 6 or 6:30 unless I just have to. But it sure was pleasant to get out of bed to answer your phone call anyway. Hey, that's sure nice that Colonel Remarcus, your squadron commander, got to talk with his wife and also Major Byrd, the pilot. That's a pretty funny name, I think, for a pilot, since he's Byrd and flies. I don't know, maybe you didn't think that was funny, but when I first read your letter and you said Major Byrd, the pilot, I don't know, I thought that was kind of funny. I bet the wives of those two guys were just as thrilled to hear their husband's voices as I was to hear yours, but maybe they weren't quite as thrilled as I was, since you're kind of extra special. Say, it sure was a pretty day here today. I was glad that Marilyn got to come over on such a nice day, because we've been having some fairly cool days, but it was just beautiful today, and I opened both doors, and I even broke down and washed the car this afternoon, and the car does look nice. It had been so long since it had been washed, I didn't realize it had been so long. And I washed it and sparkled up the windows and the chrome and dried it with a chamois after I had washed it and rubbed it down good. And it really does look nice. I was really proud to drive it in the garage tonight. It's about due for an oil change and a grease job, I think, so I'm going to try to this next week to go by the service station at the base or make an appointment there or else have that done at a service station up here in Huber Heights. But I think both of those things need doing. Car sure is running good, though. Haven't had any kind of problem with it at all. Hey, so you ran into another Aggie, huh? Well, it seems those people are all over this place. I don't know. We're going to have to get more T-sips and stamp out those guys. I don't know. But anyway, I guess your friend Dave Webb's doing a good job over there, and seriously, I'm glad you met him because, I don't know, in spite of our complaining about Aggies, some of our best friends have been Aggies. You know, the Bunnings and Glenn... Glenn and Ned, and anyway, we've known quite a few Aggies, and since we visited with them quite a bit, I guess we can't complain that they're too bad of a sort. I'm glad when I talked with you that you were glad to hear my voice as much as I was to hear yours, and nothing in the world sounds sweeter to me than hearing you say I love you, and it really sounds wonderful, and I couldn't help but think that maybe other people were picking this up through maybe other microphones or through various reasons. But I was just really proud of the fact that even if the whole world were listening, you were still saying that you loved me. And that gave me quite a thrill. Mike appreciated your little word to him today when you said Mike dog. He raised his eyebrow and he looked over at the tape recorder and... then he closed his eyes again, and as you continued talking to him, he decided he heard something outside, so he jotted off just like, you know, it was not very important. He went over to the window and trying to see some dog or something was going on outside. So you can see he's not too well behaved. Your letters, I always get a kick out of some of the things that you think of. I told Marilyn Dobbs today that, well, and I've told her before, that you're really a wheeler dealer, and after my telling her about your arranging the phone call and thinking of how to do it and figuring it out and seeing if it would work, I think she was convinced that you really were a wheeler dealer. And then I read the second letter from you and about how you added the Tijuana Brass to the announcement that the colonel was going to make at the train there. And she sure got a kick out of that, too. She said, boy, he must be, you know, a wheeler dealer thinking of things like peel on a brass and things like that to add to music. I mean, add to your tape recorder that was going to be played there. Well, Sugar, if you want that special admission assignment, then it's available to you. I hope you get it. But, of course, since you haven't told me much about it, I'm not sure if I'll be glad if you take it or not, because if it's any more dangerous a type of job or anything, I hate for you to get into it. But, of course, I'm sure that you know what's best for you anyway, and if the assignment is possible for you to go on it, and if you think it'll be best for you, well, I hope you get it. Hey, I'm happy that you liked those pictures of me at John Bryan Park. After we took them all, I told Ken and Tracy, I said, well, Bart gets these, and he won't be too pleased because my hair's back, and he didn't like it back at all, so he probably threw these pictures away. But I'm real pleased to hear that you liked those. I didn't think they were very good at me, but I did think the scenery, like you said, was pretty in the background. I think I'm just about out of tape on this side, so I'll stop here and check and see if I am. No, I guess I've got more, so I'll sit here and gab a little bit longer. You know, the bird I told you about, that the plastic bird that Mama put up in the tree out here, that crazy bird, of course, just sits there all day, and it's about to drive a red bird crazy that comes flying around here and sings, and it's trying to flirt with that plastic bird up in the tree, and I think it's really frustrating. It doesn't understand why the red bird in our yard and our tree is not whistling back at it. And it's really a sight to see that red bird come up here and continue whistling all the time. I guess he thinks that our red bird is a cold bird.